It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The dean of the Marshall University School of Medicine thinks psychiatry can be on the front lines of combating the state's health issues.
The problems of substance abuse, of obesity, metabolic syndrome, these things all go hand in glove. And unless we address these psychiatric and behavioral issues, we're really incompletely addressing the healthcare problems that we face.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. Much attention has been paid over the years to child hunger, but hunger and poor nutrition are also problems among the country's senior population. The National Foundation to End Senior Hunger is hoping to change that and has created a pilot program in West Virginia's poorest county that the organization hopes will be replicated across Appalachia and the country. Cecilia Mason has more.
The National Foundation to End Senior Hunger commissioned a study starting in 2008 that shows the incidence of hunger among the nation's senior population. That first study showed that 1 in 9 seniors, or about 11%, face the threat of hunger. NFresh Executive Vice President Peggy Ingram says the numbers have continued to grow.
The percentage of seniors who are facing the threat of hunger has also grown significantly, now to nearly 1 in 6.
Ingram says the biggest risk factor is low income, and seniors who live with children are twice as likely to face the threat of hunger. So NFresh used a grant from the Walmart Foundation to work with George Mason University, Reconnecting McDowell, and a host of other organizations to create a program called Feeducation that teaches senior citizens in McDowell County how to make nutritious meals that appeal to young and old. Ingram says statistics show McDowell County used to have a population of up to 150,000 and was once one of the wealthier counties in the state. Today, fewer than 22,000 people live in the 500-square-mile county, making access to food a significant problem.
It also means that when people go to shop at the grocery store and can get there, they go a limited number of times, and what they purchase is what they have to eat for a long period. To be able to stretch their budget and to take that home and feed their family for a period of time is really a revolutionary thing.
NFresh teamed up with George Mason University's Nutrition and Food Studies Department to design a program where students work with senior-headed households in McDowell County to learn how to make more nutritious meals. Assistant Professor Constance Giwa says students in a class that meets in the fall called Nutrition Through the Lifespans began by designing the project. Then the spring nutrition education class implemented it by going to McDowell County and conducting 3 sessions where seniors and children could learn how to make healthy meals and snacks. Giwa says the Feeducation program provided a valuable experience to her students.
When you sit in class, everything looks so black and white. But when you go out in the field, then you realize it is not. There are some gray areas, and you have to make decisions on the go at times.
One of Giwa's students, Brian Head, visited McDowell County more than once. Head says students in his group ran one of the cooking and nutrition sessions where they offered recipes for healthier pancakes, grilled cheese sandwiches, yogurt parfaits, banana caterpillars, and chili. He says one goal was providing ideas for normal food that could be made easily, like the grilled cheese sandwiches.
You know, we understand that that's something that needs to be because of speed and time, but you can always, we want to show you can always put vegetables inside of that and get more.
Participants left each session with the ingredients for one of the recipes they saw demonstrated, and they each got a copy of a cookbook with recipes from all the sessions, plus a few more.
And one of the things we heard when we went back the second time was that they had the recipe book at home and they were using it. We had one lady at the senior center that said she had tried every single recipe and she had given the recipe book to her another family member and they had used it.
While the folks in McDowell County who participated came away from the cooking sessions with new recipes and nutrition advice like buy more frozen and canned vegetables when fresh is not available, Head and Giwa say the students who traveled to McDowell also came away with something after the warm reception they received.
So definitely after the first time, I was so excited to go back and to see some of the familiar faces and to see some of the talk to them about their lives and how things have been. And it's more like we gained some friendships out of it instead of just we come down as teaching. We actually went down to talk to friends, and it was a great experience.
It is an amazing community. I wouldn't say anything else. It's a wonderful community. They're really keen to learn something new. Honestly, I was impressed.
InFresh Executive Vice President Peggy Ingram says the organization hopes to find the resources to bring the Feeducation program to other counties throughout the state and region.
But we have now put together, we think, a model that can transform and improve lives in McDowell and throughout West Virginia and throughout the whole Appalachian region.
Feeducation is hosting a community event tomorrow called Healthy Food, Healthy Fun, Healthy Future to celebrate the program's success. The event will include a cooking demonstrations, a farmer's market, and an appearance by the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Martinsburg.
And that event tomorrow takes place from noon to 3 in the Walmart parking lot in Kimball and at the Five Loaves and Two Fishes Food Bank. The Marshall University Joan C. Edwards School of Medicine announced yesterday that they've been approved to start a psychiatry residency program. As Clark Davis reports, Marshall's program will become only the third in the state to train the specialist experts. Say the region desperately needs.
Administrators at the Marshall University School of Medicine see substance abuse as just one of many problems the new psychiatry residency program can impact. Dr. Suzanne Holroyd is the new chairman of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine.
That is absolutely critical. There is a huge underserved need for substance abuse training at all levels, including psychiatry in the state. So our residents are going to get a wonderful treatment in that. And again, no matter what field of medicine you're going to be in, you're going to see substance abuse disorder. So it's really critical that they get good training in that area.
The School of Medicine has been awarded initial accreditation by the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education to offer a psychiatry training program beginning in 2015. The ACGME is the national body responsible for postdoctoral training programs in the U.S. Holroyd says with more psychiatrists in the region, problems like substance abuse can be better handled.
They'll be learning very specific things about diagnosis and treatment of specific psychiatric illnesses, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, major depression, panic disorder, eating disorders, substance abuse disorders, all of which are huge problems, have a huge economic, social, and functional impact on the community and families and individuals.
Holroyd says there is a lack of psychiatrists not just in the state or region, but throughout the country. She says a program like this could help the region start to catch many of the problems at the beginning, when patients are young.
There's so many issues for children, depression, bullying, eating disorders, stress, all kind of things, ADHD. And again, our residents will be learning all those kind of information, so specific diagnosis and treatments, because ideally it's best to treat people while young and be preventative if possible.
The psychiatry residency will be a 4-year program that will begin recruiting year one residents in the fall of 2014 for training beginning July 1st, 2015. The residents will do their training at 7 sites in the area, including Cabell Huntington Hospital, Marshall Psychiatry, Mildred Mitchell Bateman State Hospital, Prestera Center for Community Mental Health, River Park Hospital, St. Mary's Medical Center, and the Huntington Veterans Affairs Medical Center, all of which are located in Huntington. Dr. Joseph Shapiro is the dean of the School of Medicine.
If you think about the general health of the community, the problems of substance abuse, of obesity, metabolic syndrome, these things all go hand in glove. And unless we address these psychiatric and behavioral issues, we're really incompletely addressing the healthcare problems that we face.
Shapiro says the development of a solid psychiatric program can mean better health care all around.
Even though many of the issues that we're talking about are handled by our primary care providers, the training of these providers can be done more optimally if we've got a robust psychiatric and behavioral sciences group.
Marshall will be the third psychiatry residency program in West Virginia, joining West Virginia University Morgantown and West Virginia University Charleston Area Medical Center. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:40. A flood warning is in effect for the eastern Panhandle counties and portions of the Greenbrier and Tigert River valleys. A flood watch is in effect for central and northern portions of the state today. Rain and thunderstorms in our forecast. Temperatures in the 60s, a chance of rain overnight with lows in the 30s and 40s. Mostly cloudy on Saturday with a chance of rain. Temperatures in the 50s and 60s, partly sunny on Sunday.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Bowles Rice, a local full-service law firm representing businesses and individuals in our region since 1920.
When pictures of West Virginia land in the national spotlight, it's often the rural poverty-stricken hollows and hills. Concord University art student Sterling Snyder wanted to capture a different and often overlooked urban places in the state. Concord student Jared Klein reports.
Large black and white photographs hang in the Arthur Butcher Gallery at Concord University. In the far right corner, there's a towering picture of a worn staircase behind a building, a sign of years of use. The photos depict what's left of the urban architecture in parts of West Virginia. Snyder tries to capture the metropolitan scene in a culture better known for its rural traits.
It's a different look at an urban scene in an Appalachian culture, but also just, you know, when you're a photographer and you're taking photographs, you're that eye that everyone always talks about.
That eye that Snyder refers to is a person who notices the detail that others leave behind. He hopes to bring attention to what he calls a dilapidated urban scene in the Mountain State. His photos are in black and white to put more emphasis on their composition and show close-ups of aging buildings from across the state.
It's sort of a metaphor of just a lot of things that I do.
The show is called Controlled Chaos. Concord University student Sterling Snyder says he feels the name captures his day-to-day routine.
I have a very precise plan in my head, but what actually happens, you know, you can't control. And, you know, controlled chaos is kind of what everything, you know, sort of is for me, like, you know, in my life almost.
And Snyder takes this inner commotion to create his artwork that is well recognized by the Concord community. Lindsay Boyd graduated from Concord with a bachelor's degree in studio art a few years ago. She thought the pieces were striking.
I really enjoyed the up-close pieces because you get to see aspects of the urban structure that we live in that you normally wouldn't see. So I really enjoyed the textures and the careful detail that he took in looking at those carefully.
And growing up in southern West Virginia, Boyd is familiar with the declining city scene that Snyder displays.
These, I think, show that a lot of the urban areas are old and have been in use for a while, and they're actually run down. But there's some beauty in that age.
Dasha Nikolaeva is an international student from Russia. She says she was surprised to learn that the photos were taken in West Virginia.
No, I think they're more modern, maybe, I don't know, you know, from a city or something, like, But he shows us from a different angle, so it looks very, very good.
But this confusion is exactly what Snyder wants us to feel while looking at the hidden and dilapidated gems of the Mountain State, still open for interpretation. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jared Klein.
Today is the last day Snyder's show, Controlled Chaos, will be on display in the Alexander Fine Arts Center on the Concord University campus. But you can find more information about his work by visiting our website, wvpublic.org. Pink Martini and the Von Trapps perform Hushabye Mountain in this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
It fills the sails of boats that
Pink Martini and the Von Trapps with Hushabye Mountain. You can hear this song again and more music on Mountain Stage Sunday afternoon at 2 right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Poor, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. Our theme music is by Matt Jackfert. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.